Whatever you want your children to be, start praying that over them now. Don't wait till they've made a wrong turn and then start. Bless them now. Bless their finances. Bless everything that you want them to have. Bless them now. Declare it over them. Prophesy it over them. Speak it over them so that they can grow into the words that you say. And on the other hand, I've seen it the other way. You speak curses over them. They fulfill those curses. All right? I know people who tell their kid, you ain't going to be nothing. Well, I guess at 23 years of age, guess what? It's nothing. He's been told that all of his life. What's the change? Well, my friends, thank you for your faithfulness. And this morning, we're going to go into God's Word for a little bit. And you know our theme for the year is giving. And if you're a guest with us, don't get nervous. We're not going to ask you for any money. But we're just simply teaching and illustrating to you what needs to happen in the life of a person before they can get to the place where they just give all of themselves to the Lord with great freedom and excitement and joy. A few moments ago, we talked about the unsurrendered areas, and all of us have those unsurrendered areas. If you look deep on the inside, you will find them, and they're a struggle for us. And is it interesting how most believers, we've got it together about 98, 99%, but that 1 or 2%, if we don't give attention to it, can mess up the 98 and the 99, and it can make you feel like the 98, 99% has not no value simply because the 1 or 2%. Do I have any witnesses in here today? Just one or two little things. And all of a sudden, life can feel like it's just out of sync and chaotic. And I believe that's part of human nature, but also part of the work of the enemy too. We major on the minors. This morning, if you would turn with me to the first book in the Bible, Genesis, the 28th chapter. I think in your bulletin we've got from verses 16 to 22. Let's start at verse 10 if it's not much of an issue. Lorena, am I going to mess you up? Oh, sorry, Lorena. All right. You know what? You can stay with 16 to 22. I could just read from 10 to 16. All right? So keep what you got prepared. They love me on Sunday morning. I mess up all their slides because I change. charge it to my head and not to my heart, okay? All right, it's good. All right, well, let's just go to Genesis 28. Let's read. Okay, it looks like she's got 10 to 16. Can you read that? All right. Open your Bibles. Okay, let's do this. Open your Bibles. All right. And you got it? Let's stick to what we prepared. Okay, Lorena, let's stick to what we prepared. That's okay. Oh, it's there? Okay. Oh, good. All right. All right, she's doing a real good job. Can you show some appreciation to Lorena? Good. And right beside her is Mr. Darnell. All right. You know, after pastoring for a long time, you know, when the slide's working, nobody gives two pennies. Sound's working good. The minute you start getting feedback or something is not on the screen, everybody's looking back. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Audiovisual. Isn't it nice to see our young people getting involved in the service? All right. Which should be an encouragement for some of the older folks, right? If the young people can do it, so can you. You're never too old to learn anything. That's what a lot of you tell me. Pastor, I'm too old. I can't learn. But if you speak it, guess what's going to happen? You can do all things through Jesus Christ. Even learn to run a computer. Hallelujah. I can do all things through Jesus Christ, even how to run a computer. Y'all supposed to say amen on that one. It's all good. It's all good. All right. Let's read the Word of God in concert this morning as our text. On three. One, two, three. Jacob left Beersheba and set out to Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway reaching the earth, with its top reaching to heaven. And the angels of God were ascending and descending on him. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out on the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples of the earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I am not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place! There is no other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took some stones that he had placed under his head, and he set it up as pillars and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel, though the city used to call it Luz. Then Jacob vowed, saying, if God will be with me, and watch over me on this journey I am taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so I can return safe to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God. And this stone I have set up as a pillar will be God's house, and all that he gives to me, I will give him a tenth. Amen. All right, let me see your Bibles. This is my Bible. It is the unadulterated, inspired, authoritative Word of God for my life. I will read it slowly. I will read it prayerfully. I will read it carefully. I will abide by its precepts. I will live by its principles. And I will stand on its promises. I declare it in Jesus' name. His name. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, Pastor wants to talk to you this morning from the subject, don't despise your wilderness. Look at your other neighbor and say, neighbor, don't despise your wilderness. Yes. All right. If you live long enough, each and every one of you, including me, will have our wilderness experience. And if you haven't been there yet, keep living. All right? Each and every one of us will have a wilderness experience. Something in your life will send you into a wilderness experience. All of us gonna have it. Amen? All right? So there's some nuggets in here. Even though, Gina, we're talking about giving and the heart surrounding giving, I'm gonna take you back and back you up to a story. And as we make our way towards our text and what we want to talk about, there's some little nuggets that I want to pull out and share with you as we journey through our text. But let me share a little bit with you. This is Jacob. And who's his brother? Esau. And who's his father? Who? Isaac. Okay? And who's the father of Isaac? Abraham. So at the time of our text, we find Jacob left home because he and his mother, well, Jacob deceived his brother Esau of his birthright. There's a family feud, and we're going to make our way through the text and talk about some of this stuff. And so at the time of his text, his mother and him got together, Jacob, and they deceive the father and the brother, Esau, and the dad, Isaac. And Jacob is on the run. And he's going to his uncle's house, and his uncle, his mother's brother, and his uncle's name was Laban. All right? And he's going to Laban's house. And on the way from his father's house to Laban's house, he's tired, and he lays down to sleep, and God began to speak to him. But there's something I want to talk to you about before that. Jacob did something that was wrong. He deceived his brother out of his birthright. The birthright was supposed to go to which son? The oldest son. But the youngest son wanted it. And so he deceived his brother, deceived his father, and he got the blessing. And now he's on the run. Can I pause here for a minute? There are many people today who have made poor choices in their lives. And instead of sticking around and trying to work it out, they're on the run. And they've been on the run for a lot of years. The correct thing for Jacob to do was to come to the place in his life and say, you know what? I made a bad decision. Try to find reconciliation and restoration with his father and his brother. But his mother encouraged him to just flee. And we have a lot of people today who've made poor mistakes, made poor choices, sometimes intentionally, sometimes unintentionally. And instead of trying to solve it and bring restoration and reconciliation and healing to their lives, they are on the run, and they've been running for a long time. But the good thing about the text is that the God that we serve, regardless of where you have been and what you have done, will not allow you to stay in your state for too long. Because God met Joseph in the wilderness as he was on the run. And that tells me that my God knows everything that happens to me. Now listen to this. Jacob's grandfather was Abraham. He grew up with the knowledge of God. Can you agree to that? I mean, can you imagine? Brother Joseph, you got to get the drama team together, because this is the perfect example. Can you imagine the two boys, Jacob and Esau? Hey, Grandpa, Grandpa, tell us a story. And watch Abraham come up, and he put them boys on his legs, and he said, boy, grandkids, you know what? There was one time God asked me to take your dad up to a mountain, and he promised us. Can you see? Can you? Grandpa, what are you talking about? I'm just thinking out loud. See, this is what happened to me at 3 o'clock in the morning, okay? So, and so Jacob grew up in a religious environment where he knew about the things of God. And yet still, his grandfather, who talked with God, experienced God, his own father experienced God. And here we find Jacob with issues in his heart and his life. And you would think his mother, who knew the things of God, would not encourage him to go down that way. But, you know, you can be in church all your life, and you can find a lot of folks who will substitute righteous living for religious activity. You'll find a lot of folks who will substitute righteous living for religious activity. You would think even if Jacob got it wrong, but his mother should never have been enabling him to do what he's doing. That should never be the case. And there ought to be somebody in your life that would tell you, man, you're making a bad move. It has to be somebody. Long story short, anyway, he's on the run. And God is going to be teaching him about stewardship. And God is going to be teaching him about some number of things. And I said to you last week that biblical stewardship, as our theme is on giving, is God's way of raising up the congregation, or raising up the believer, not the congregation's way of raising money. Biblical stewardship is God's way of raising up the believer, not the congregation's way of raising money. So we find that Jacob grew up in a spiritual, godly, religious environment. And we find that if we back up just a little bit, in Genesis 25, 29, twins are born to Rebekah and Isaac. In 25, the first one was born is Esau. And then Jacob comes out afterwards. We know that he becomes deceitful. And we know that this particular family had some issues, because when you look at Genesis chapter 27, verses 5, and look at verses 6, we see that the parents are taking sides. It's got my son and her son. And one day when we're speaking about dysfunctional families, we're going to use them as an example, because even though they were close to God and heard the voice of God, we see them to be a dysfunctional family. And today we say everybody's dysfunctional, but you know, there's nothing new under the sun. We see that even in the Bible times with people who were close to God, people who went to church, who heard God's voice. And this is why I keep saying to you, we can never substitute holy living for religious activity. Because many people come to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, religious activity, but they haven't experienced transformation. And my goal is to enable to share enough with you that you experience transformation. And so we find that the wife is involved in deceiving her husband, and she tells her son to do the same. We've got to be careful who we listen to. We notice that in our text that Jacob's duty was to carry out the deceptive plan, even though he knew in his heart that it was wrong, but he still did it. Jacob's decision was to follow this path of deception. Jacob's deceit caused him to lie, and not only to lie about himself, but he lied on God. If you look at Genesis 27, verses 19 and 24, if you find it, so just to make sure that you know that I'm not making this up. What does he say in verse 19 of Genesis 27? All right, that's a lie, because he's not. He's not Esau. He's not the firstborn. Look at verse 24. Okay, and continue, Val. Okay. Okay, what about verse 20? Look at verse 20. And what do you say? Is that true? No, that's not true. God didn't do that. So he wanted the birthright so badly. And now listen, birthrights are an important thing, because, I mean, if Joseph is a rich businessman and I'm his son and I'm the firstborn, I mean, everything that he has after mama's gone comes to me, right? The tractor, the combine, the cows, the goat, the concubines, you know. All come to me. So this birthright is an important thing. But what happens when we get so caught up with wanting things more than we want what's right and what is biblical? And we see people today who are so desperate for things that they're willing to lie, not only on themselves, but lie on God and to deceive and connive to get whatever they want. And I want to tell you, my friends, if we employ these things in our lives, it'll come back to haunt us. Because if we fast forward the story a little bit, we know that Jacob goes to his uncle Laban's house, and he ends up spending about 14 years there for a woman that he didn't want, and his uncle deceived him, and it didn't end up very good at the end. He ended up back home with his father. But when you read the story, you see that the deceptiveness in his heart was also given to him. And I want to point out to you that what goes around comes around. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Do unto others as though you were others. The story continues. Isaac, who is the dad, senses there's something in his spirit that is not right with what his son Jacob has just told him, verses 21 and 22 of Genesis 27. And I want to pause there for a little bit as we make our way to our text. One of these little nuggets, Gina. Whenever you're about to make a decision and you feel that there's something off on the inside, people call it woman's intuition. But I believe it's God's way of giving us good discernment. When you feel that there's something that is not right about this, never override it. Every time I have overridden that in my spirit, I've always paid the price for it. Don't override it. God has put it there for a reason. Many times my wife will tell me things. You don't know what you're talking about. 6 months later, I'm crying the blues. I didn't listen. Never override that internal. Okay, that's enough. Okay? Never override those internal feelings that's there. God has put those there for a reason. And Isaac overrides it. And, of course, he gives the blessing to the wrong son. So now, we come to our text. And we're going to start at verse 17. And we're going to make our way through it quickly here. Jacob is tired in his journey. And he lies down and he has a vision. And I want to say it to you today, my friends, that regardless of where you are in your life, God can meet you. Regardless of where you are in your life, God can meet you. And we notice that when Jacob lied down and he put a rock on his head for a pillow, out in the open perhaps, that he had a vision. Not only can God meet you where you are, but you have to be open to God speaking to you in various and different ways. God spoke to the prophets of old verbally. He spoke to Abraham. He spoke to Moses verbally. He speaks to us in visions. He gives us those internal feelings. And there are many ways that God speaks to us. So don't put God in a box and say that unless he speaks to me at 10:45 on a Sunday morning through the worship leader, it's not God. God can speak to us. If God can use a jawbone of a donkey, he can speak to us however he wants to speak to us. So if your ears are inclined to what he wants, you will hear the voice of God. When Jacob lay down to sleep, he had a vision that there was a ladder extending down. And when I was on my sabbatical, I read a book by Frank DiMaggio. And Frank took this one chapter and wrote a book on it. I didn't just read the book. I studied the book. And I began to think of myself, this ladder going up to heaven. And you think of the different rungs that are on a ladder going up. What needs to happen so that when we worship and when we pray and when we exalt the Lord, that a ladder from heaven comes down and the angels can ascend and descend and carry messages back and forth? Because you know what? Today I feel that the ladder is not quite reaching the top of heaven. I'm not saying it's not there, but there's a disconnect someplace, and we've got to find a way to get that ladder to connect heaven and earth so that the message can flow freely. We've got to find a way to get that in place. Anyway, the message continues. And for Jacob, he was away from what was familiar to him. And you know, sometimes God would allow you to, in your state of deceitfulness or whatever it is that you're going through, to bring you a place where you are, where you become away and separated from what is familiar to you. Because sometimes God can't use us because we go to our environment and our surrounding. And especially in North America, for example, when we have difficulty, I mean, we've got the social service, we got the government help, we got this aid. But I tell you, sometimes in those third world countries, when you don't have nothing else but God to go to, that's the first place you go. To God. And so sometimes he will put us in situations where we are away from what is familiar to us. We notice that Jacob was alone on his journey. And the enemy has a way of sometimes of getting us, Audrey, to be separated from what We want them what we desire. As a pastor, you don't know how many times I see this in people. They get upset about something and they disconnect themselves from the church. And they become alone and isolated. And I think that's a scheme of the enemy, because when I watch Animal Planet, I like to see how, I was watching it last night, and to see how the tigers and the leopards, they're so crafty, and they just look for the animal that is weak and weary and prey on them. And I believe the enemy does the same for us. And so sometimes I want to say to you, when you're feeling disconnected, the thing to do is not to pull away, but to come together. Reach out to someone. Be connected, because when you are alone, you become weak, you don't have the resources, and you become a prey. But it's like taking a coal that was once in a fire pot, and then, you know, it's gone out. But the minute you put it back in, it just ignites again, and it begins to glow. One candle can only produce a certain BTUs, but if you take 1,000 candles and put them together, you can have several thousands BTUs. British Terminal Unit. So I want to encourage you today, be careful. Watch. Don't despise your desert situation. He was on a journey. And God has many of us on many journeys today. And he's taken us to various places. And if we're not willing to humble and submit ourselves and to hear what he's saying to us, we will remain in our state in the wilderness until we get it right. He was in a situation that allowed him to sense the presence of God. Don't despise your wilderness experience. It could be the place that you will have an encounter with Almighty God. It was there that Jacob experienced a new awareness of who God is. He knew God, but this was a new awareness. He had a new revelation, Sister Eddie. God met him in the wilderness. God met him in a dry place. God met him in an exposed place. God met him in a vulnerable place. And sometimes we have to get to that place before we can really hear and sense what God is wanting to say to us. God can use any method to get our attention. Point number two. Not only did Jacob have a new awareness of who God was when he met him out in the wilderness, there was a new worship. And I like this. I like this. I like this. I like this. Elva, I like this. Here's why I like it. Jacob grew up with the knowledge of God. He was Abraham's grandson. When he awoke from his dream, he knew that he was in the presence of Almighty God. And because of that, his heart was changed because of the presence of God. We want to see people's hearts and lives change, but no man can change a person's heart. When a heart becomes changed, it's because a person had an encounter with God. When I made my commitment to God was one day when I was standing at 375 Northwood Road, and I heard the voice of God, and I said, God, if this is you, I will serve you. I've wanted to quit many times, but because I had an encounter, I knew I'd heard the voice of God, and it keeps me going from day to day. And you need to see God for your encounter. You need your encounter. After he has an encounter, he begins to worship. Look at that. He met God, and he starts worshiping. Now, you have to charge this to my head and not to my heart, but I noticed that when he met God, there was no worship. When he met God, there was an altar built. He started his own church. There was no altar, therefore there was no worship. Where there is no worship, there is sin. And where there is sin, there is separation from God. Jacob built an altar with rocks, whatever he could find. And I noticed in the text that he didn't complain about the worship leader and how long the service was and the style of the music. There was no complaining about loudness or quietness. He didn't complain about the inadequacies of the worship band. But he was worshiping God. It's quiet in here. He didn't have none of that. And sometimes we think today that if we have all this stuff, and which is nice to have, it's good to have good music. I don't believe that the devil should have all the good music. All right? I believe we need good music in the church. But good music doesn't foster worship. Good music doesn't foster worship. Doesn't create worship. Worship is something that comes up from the inside. And so he never complained about the worship because he had the presence of God. And I want to say to you, New Hope, if we're going to see change, we need the presence of God. We need the supernatural impartation. We need that anointing. We need the presence of God. Can we get the presence of God in a more intimate, powerful way? I believe that we can, because the Bible says that those who seek me, I will reveal myself to them. If you seek me, I will reward you for diligently seek me. God says, if the evil fathers know how to give good gifts, wouldn't he give more to those who ask of the Holy Spirit's power and presence? I believe God wants to do a new thing. But I believe there has to be a hunger and a thirst for the things of God before we begin to see the manifestation. So I encourage you in your devotional life, read the Word of God on a daily basis. I've given you Bible plans. Listen, my friends, if you don't read God's Word on a daily basis, once a week or no time a week, how can we grow? How can we grow? If we don't worship Him where we set aside time just to put on some music and just worship and be in His presence. I know we're all busy, but I believe that that's also a tool of the enemy. Because we can find time for everything else except that. So are we really busy? Now, I told you last week, I'm aiming at the devil. If you get hit, you're standing too close. Okay? So I want to encourage you as a congregation, get into the Word of God. Read the Word of God. Spend time in His presence. Ask Him for transformation. Ask Him for new revelation. Ask Him for insight. And if we go from week to week and we never get into the Word of God, we will never experience the presence of God. And we come to church on a Sunday morning dry, and then by the time I finish here in about half an hour, we're just starting to get warmed up, and then you go back into the cold all of next week, and you're dry again. But that's not what God's plan is for you. He wants you to live with an abundance of excitement. He wants you to have the infilling of His Spirit inside of us. And so Jacob has this experience. And what he had was a divine presence. He had an anointing. He had the power of God. He had the promise of God. He had the divine glory of God. And when you come into the presence of God, there has to be a change. There is no way that Jacob could come into the presence of God with a deceitful heart, have a Holy Ghost worship time, and leave the same way. Can't happen. Can't happen. So my encouragement to us is to seek the Lord and allow His presence and His power to deal with those unsurrendered areas of all of our lives. When relationship is restored, worship is restored. You know it's hard to worship God if you have unresolved issues in your heart. Do you know that? It is difficult to worship God. If I'm angry at someone, you know it's hard to say, I surrender. I can't do it. I say it on the outside, but what I say on the inside, I surrender some. I got to say some. I can't say all. Because it's not right on the inside. So my encouragement to you is to seek God and to don't despise your wilderness experience, because it's in this environment that God can speak to you. Now, when I was on my sabbatical, Frank DiMaggio began to dissect this chapter, and he wrote a book on it, The Gate Church. And so I began to study the book. And one of the things I noticed, God pointed out to me that I was doing wrong at New Hope, and just for spiritual, just so you know, is that I noticed that when Jacob decided that he was going to build a place of worship for God, what did he use? It's in the text. Stones that he slept on, right? He didn't use grass. He didn't use hay. He used stones. And Frank DiMaggio said, and this spoke to my heart, and then when I read it, the God spoke to me. Because we're a small church, I've been trying to build the congregation, but what I ended up doing a lot of times was taking people who weren't necessarily stones yet, had the potential to be, weren't necessarily stones yet, and were putting them in leadership positions. But once you begin to put a house on that foundation, because it wasn't quite stone, And this is one of the reasons we're always one person away from ministry falling apart. And in the effort and the desire, and I love the Lord's work, and I want to see it grow and flourish. But sometimes, in my haste, I have been putting people in position that shouldn't be there. Learned that on sabbatical. So I came back, and I noticed that Jacob built with stones and pillars. Because what happens when you don't build with stones and pillars is you put people in position, and then when the pressure gets going to them, not only do they buckle, the entire ministry is affected. They get mad and leave the church. Sometimes they leave, and they leave the Lord. They don't follow the Lord anymore. They're hurt. They're angry. They're upset. And so for me, it's important for me to put the right people in the right places for the right reasons. Now, I take a lot of criticism for that, but that's okay. Joseph built with stones and pillar. You can put a foundation. You can build a foundation on stone and put a building on top of that because it's stable. But if you build with other things, and the same is for your lives. If you build your marriage on deceit and dishonesty, how could it be healthy when it begins to grow? If you build your spiritual life on a foundation that is weak, how can it flourish? And so 20 years down the road, you're saying, well, we've been doing okay, and all of a sudden the house starts leaning. But when a house starts to lean, it's not necessarily a building issue, it's a foundation issue. So I want to challenge you. Put the right foundations in place. So we notice with Jacob that when he came into the building for service, he had an environment where God's presence was. And he enjoyed that experience. You and I have an opportunity that when we come into the presence of God, when we come into the building of God, the house of God, to bring something in with us so that if all of us came in with our candles lit, we would have more spiritual heat together versus one person or two coming in with their candles lit and then trying to light all the individual candles. So next time you come into the presence of God, can you come in with your candles lit? And if you can't light it, then you must ask yourself the question, why can't I light it? Point number three, and I'm coming to a close. Jacob came into a new awareness. Before he met God on his journey to his uncle's house, he was listening to his mother. And there's nothing wrong with listening to mama, but mama is not always right. There's nothing wrong with listening to mama, but mama is not always right. As godly as she might be sometimes, she's not always right. Because mama's direction for you and God's direction for you, I know Sister Etty just said mama's always right. I could read lips too, you know. Be careful what you say. I got telescopic ears. So according to Sister Etty, mama is always right. But according to the Bible, mama's not always right. Yeah. Whew. That's a different sermon for a different day. I think I'm going to leave that one alone. Just keep moving along. Anyway. Before he encountered God, he was listening to his mother. But when he met God, he started listening to God. And the voice that each and every one of us must hear, the only voice, is the voice of God. Because that voice will never lead you astray. That voice will never be the wrong voice. It will never point you in the wrong direction. It will never take you places you don't want to go. The voice of God is the direction and the voice that we need to hear. Sometimes God will allow you to be in a situation where he has to get your attention. And notice that when God spoke to Jacob, mama was not around. Hello, somebody. This is the second passage in Scripture where we notice the word tithe or a tenth mention. And our theme this year is giving. And I'm coming to close. In Genesis 14, verse 20, we notice that Abraham was delivered from a situation and he gave God a tenth of what he had. And so we notice that Abraham has done it. And we notice in our text that Jacob is doing it. Can I just pause there and talk to you about the tithing for a minute? I know the minute you mention tithing, people get nervous. I'll let you out in a few minutes. Don't worry. We're coming. Some people say, have you heard us? The tithing is a principle that's practiced under the law, and it's only for the law. Have you never heard? You heard that? Right? Tithing, you know, it's under the law, and we are no longer under the law today. But when we look at the text, tithing is mentioned before the law is even given. So it's not a law issue, it's a biblical issue. It applies to us from Genesis to Revelation. Tithing is not only a law, it's not applicable only to under the law. It's a biblical issue in existence before the law was given. Abraham practiced it, his grandson Jacob is practicing it, and we're not going to subject tithing to the law. It's beyond the law. It's a biblical principle. It's a starting point. It's not an end point. It's a starting point. And so we find that first, Jacob truly recognizes God as God. And then he begins to say, now listen to this. He says, if God will do this for me, then I will do that for him. And Jacob committed in his life that he will begin to tithe everything God has given to him, even before he has it. What has changed before? Because when we started reading the text, he was concerned about grabbing from his brother and taking and taking and taking. Now he's saying, I've got a promise from God that all of the stuff God has promised me, now he's going to take without God even asking for it. He says, now, if God is going to do all of these things for me, all he has is a promise. He doesn't have the material manifestation of the things God has promised to him. He said, but if God is going to do all of these things for me, then I'm going to return to him a tenth of everything I've got. You can't tithe on what you don't have. At the time of the text, he didn't have what God promised him, so he couldn't give it. But he said, if God will be faithful to his word, then I'm going to stand on God's word today and commit myself to do what God tells me to do. I want to say it to you, New Hope. If God has said it in his word, then you and I must stand on his word and commit ourselves, even though he has not given it to us yet, but make the commitment internally with a heart transformation that when we begin to receive what God has said to us, we can give freely to him. And there's a change of attitude from Jacob, because at the beginning of the text, he was concerned about taking and grabbing and running. Now he's encountered God. Hey, I want to give back. What's changed? Hearts change. Hearts change. Only God can change the heart. You can preach till you're blue in the face about your husband or your wife. They won't change. If you're going to win that battle, it has to be on your knees. If you live with somebody who've got a hardened heart, you'll win that battle on your knees. You cannot force a person to change. You can manipulate. You can coerce. Only God can change the heart. There are things we can do to demonstrate the kindness and the goodness of God, but at the end of the day, only God can change the heart. And we notice that Jacob has a changed heart and has promised to return to God a tenth of everything that God's given to him based on a promise. Are you willing to take God at his promises today? Are you willing to take God at his promise today? God has promised us that if we do certain things, he will do certain things. Can you take God at his word? Will you take God at his word? Will you be like Christina and say, no more excuses? We have to take God at his word. But because Jacob's heart was changed, worshiping was not an issue for him. Praying was not an issue for him. And listen to this. When you read the rest of the story, he had gone to his uncle's house. And when on the way, he saw a beautiful young lady with some goats. And she was a shepherdess. It was his uncle's daughter. Her name was Rachel. But she was the youngest of two daughters. And so he went to his uncle's house, and his uncle said, well, you know, listen, I'm going to give you my daughter. And so, listen to this, on his wedding night, he got into the tent, and when he woke up in the morning, instead of having Rachel, he had Leah. And the Bible said Leah wasn't very pretty. All right? And he got the wrong woman as a wife. Long story short, he ended up marrying Leah and Rachel. and ended up going back to his father's house with cattle and wealth and so forth. But he sent his servants ahead of him to reach his brother Esau. And the Bible says that when Esau saw him, and now before again, when he left home, Esau was angry at what he had done. But the Bible says that when they met each other, and Jacob says, I brought these cattle for you. And Esau says, I don't need this. And Esau embraced him. And the sign of reconciliation had taken place. You read the story when you go home. It's in the Bible. It's there. Just continue reading from Genesis 28 onward. You'll see it. But when the heart is changed, there's a spirit of reconciliation. There's a spirit of restoration and renewal. And I want to challenge you, New Hope. If we want to see God move in our church, it's not about money. It's about the condition of each and every one of our hearts. And if the heart's right, God can use us to accomplish His will. Is the heart right this morning? Jacob met God in the wilderness. Don't despise your wilderness experience. It's a place that God could meet you in. And listen to the voice and follow what God is saying to you. Twyla, would you come back to the piano? And Christina, I think we've got some songs set up with our altar ministry team. If you don't mind making yourself ready at this point in time. I really want us, whether we have 5 people or 500, to make sure that the heart is right with our church family. Is the heart right this morning? Are there unsurrendered areas in the heart? For Jacob, it was deceitfulness and greed. But I tell you, there are many more issues in the hearts of individuals today. Our altar ministry team, put together by Fred, is wonderful. We're here to pray with you. You can choose who you'd like to pray with you for. But I know that every person in this room has some unsurrendered areas. Will you keep those unsurrendered areas, or will you have an encounter with God where He can restore you, renew you, and reconcile you? The altars of the church are open. The doors of the church are open. Let's make sure that our hearts are right. This has to be the foundation upon which growth can take place upon. Is the heart right this morning? This afternoon? What are the unsurrendered areas before you today?
You are God in heaven.
We're willing to pray with you.